Well, good afternoon, everyone. It is Monday afternoon. We've had a great day, a great weekend here at Brean. Joey and I are sitting down at the mic. David's still in Togo, West Africa. Bill is down in doing some reserve training. You're getting ready to go to
Thailand, Bangkok.
Have you ever been there before?
No. I've never left the continent, so it's been an experience.
This is really going to be
yes.
Eye-opening, incredibly fun. The emails that we're receiving from the Huffs over in West Africa are really amazing. It sounds like the team is having a great time over there. All right, so what article did you find for us to talk about, Joey?
All right, this is from the Huffington Post, and a federal judge in Wisconsin, when striking down the gay marriage ban, said, "You know traditional marriage was polygamy, right?" And so that was their reason for striking down the ban on gay marriage in Wisconsin. So this was from the Huffington Post. It was posted, I think, late last week.
The federal judge who struck down Wisconsin's gay marriage ban thinks state officials have a thing or two to learn about the history of marriage as a social institution. In defending their same-sex marriage ban, state officials claimed that virtually all cultures through time have recognized marriage as the union of an opposite-sex couple. But U.S. District Judge Barbara Crabb wrote in her 88-page ruling, 88 pages, "That's simply not true. As an initial matter, defendants and amici have overstated their argument. Throughout history, the most traditional form of marriage has not been between one man and one woman, but between one man and multiple women, which presumably is not a tradition that defendants and amici would like to continue." What? It's really hard to take these people serious.
It is, yes.
These people are in amazing positions of power. Judges, more and more, are increasing the power they have to say, "We don't really care what the people have decided. We don't really care what the state voted on. This is no longer X, it's Y."
And so basically what we believe, feel, think, doesn't matter anymore. So I almost have no reason to go vote.
Yeah, it is becoming increasingly discouraging to vote. You say to yourself, like in the state of North Carolina, 2 years ago, we rallied, we opposed each other, we debated, and in the end, we went to the polls, and the people spoke.
Yep, and people will say, "Well, what about the minority?" And the minority had their chance, and they didn't win. Their voice was heard, their opinion was respected, in a civil debate, they didn't win, and that's the way that it used to be. You had a civil debate, and if you lost, you lost. Sometimes things got out of hand, but for the most part, you lost, and you went on. You didn't try to go to a district where you knew you would win and try the case, and then take it all the way to the top. And that's all they're doing. They're picking the finding a liberal judge in a certain district, and they're getting people to try it in that, and they know they're going to win. And so now the whole thing's tied up in the system. Money's being wasted. Taxpayer money's been being wasted. Other people's money's being wasted that they could be using for other things, trying to fight these legal battles. And so overall, it's not a good thing.
In the state of Wisconsin, evidently most people believe that traditional marriage is one man and one woman, or the state wouldn't have had the ban.
Yeah.
But she now, this Barbara, is going to educate us. She's going to teach us something here. She is going to superimpose her worldview on the will of the people. She's going to tell us that we who have believed that marriage as a general rule throughout society has been one man and one woman, that we were mistaken in our assumptions. That we have a misunderstanding. Now you think about that in light of the Mormon Church, who for many years practiced polygamy.
Mm-hmm.
They started in New York.
Yep.
And they were chased out west. And one of the reasons they were driven away from the predominant Eastern culture was because polygamy was not understood to be acceptable.
Yeah, and even then, that was in the mid-1800s, so it wasn't like Mormons had been around for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, and finally people got tired of them. This was a new thing, and it was almost immediately rejected.
In the 1800s?
In the 1800s, yes.
Right, but what she's suggesting is as long as history's been around, polygamy has been the traditional marriage. So if we think that just roughly we have 10,000 years of marriage kind of a human history, or 15,000 or even 20,000 to be real flexible with the numbers for those out there that have some kind of a theocracy of a evolutionary basis, you know, this merging of God and evolution somehow. But in the 1800s?
Yeah, in the 1800s. And I think if we went back to the 1700s in England or France or Germany, you wouldn't find polygamy as being prevalent.
No, where was it prevalent?
I would think that in my mind, the place that had been most prevalent throughout the years would have been in the African cultures. It would have been in the tribal cultures. That would have been the most prevalent place. But it wasn't prevalent in Rome, during the Roman culture. Normally, if it was prevalent at all, it was among richer people who could afford to pay for that many, having multiple wives and having the number of children that would come
so,
from that.
Joey, what do you say to that person that says, come on, you know that Abraham had multiple wives, you know that Jacob had multiple wives, that's a fact, we can't ignore the Bible. You know that David had multiple wives, what do you do with that?
Well, I would just tell them that in the beginning when God designed marriage, he said that marriage is between a man and a woman. A man would leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they should be one flesh. And then I would point to other people in the scriptures who did not have more than one wife, like Moses. Moses didn't have more than one wife. Peter didn't have more than one wife. So those would be the examples that I would point to. Hosea didn't have more than one wife. He had one wife, and his wife was a harlot, and he was faithful to her. So
is this...
Isaiah had one wife.
What are we saying about Abraham having multiple... Is he outside the will of the Lord?
I would say that he probably made a wrong decision, and it, the fruit of what he did not turn out very well at the end of the day. So to say that he's outside of the will of the Lord, if we take Genesis, what's written in Genesis 1:27, literally, and take it for what it says, then yes, he should not have made the choice that he made, and his wife should not have offered that.
Let's move to Jacob. Jacob has this situation where he wants to marry Rachel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And somehow he's tricked. Isn't he?
Yes, he's deceived.
And he ends up sleeping with Laban. Laban's first daughter.
Leah.
So now what? Does he... Well, they're married.
Yeah, they're he's stuck.
Right? But he's still in love with Rachel.
Yeah.
And then there's two more, isn't there?
Yeah, he gets a concubine from each of them.
Right.
Yeah, because the wives are trying to outdo each other. So clearly this is something that's born almost out of necessity for Abraham and Jacob. It's desperation. Desperation because Abraham wants to have a child. Desperation because Jacob just married someone that he didn't mean to marry, that he didn't want to marry.
And by marriage, consummated the relationship.
Yeah, yes, yes. Yeah, they consummated the relationship. They knew each other in the biblical sense. And how he didn't recognize it before, I don't know. But
maybe he's drunk.
Maybe so. Yeah, they like to drink wine at the wedding feast thing.
Well, it's just it's very difficult to imagine being sober and not being able to tell who you're sleeping with.
Yeah.
But these are results of the fall.
Yes, they are. It's not what God intended. And again, it's not the norm. I mean, it's not like this is something that's being embraced. I think the most difficult verse that we have with polygamy is when God tells David, if you would not have asked for more wives, would I not have given you more wives? When he commits adultery with Bathsheba. So that's probably the hardest one that's hard for us to really deal with.
Let's go to that. Do we need to pause the recording and find it?
Yes, let's do that.
Okay, so if the listener wants to see the text, where should they go?
2 Samuel 12:8.
Okay, and reading from the King James, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and Judah, and if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wow.
And I was looking at a couple of different Bible versions to see maybe if there's a discrepancy or maybe over-translated to please the king.
Mm-hmm.
The new NIV says, I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all Israel and Judah, and if all this had been too little, I gave you even more. ESV, and I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your arms, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah, and if this were too little, I would add to you as much more.
So it doesn't seem as though there's any significant discrepancies.
No, not necessarily. It seems to be more an emphasis that I gave you this in the past tense.
It seems to be almost thrown in your face in the confrontational sense, not necessarily an encouragement, but this is I'm really disappointed with you. I cannot believe that you had to steal.
Yeah.
That you had to conspire over this. I think that this is, in my view, and perhaps you're going to correct this thinking, but seems to be a reaction from the fact that you stole somebody's wife.
Yeah, I gave you all this, David. I blessed you. I gave you the guy that was trying to kill you. I gave you his wife. I gave you his daughter as a wife. And I would have given you anything else that you would have asked for if you would have wanted, if you just would have asked.
But instead, you go and take someone else's wife. I mean, that's the central issue here. I don't sense this to be an encouragement towards multiple wives so much as a stinging rebuke.
Yeah, and David repents in verse 13, recognizes that he failed. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die. David didn't go out and say, well, let me ask for more wives then. He recognized that he was in the wrong and repented.
So do we have anything in the Word of God that gives us an indication that God's plan is multiple wives?
No, nothing. Every time that we see, even I think there's a case in Exodus where if the man is displeased with his wife, then he's free to stay married to her and bring in another wife as long as he fulfills his obligation to her. But again, that's in a situation where that is preferred over a divorce. Rather than divorcing her, you could take Bill preached on when he was in Exodus. So, but again, it's not the norm, it's not the ideal, it's not the way that things are supposed to happen.
But this judge is arguing that you can't argue one man and one woman as a traditional sense because that was never traditional.
That's what she's saying. She's saying that was not the tradition.
And really, the pushback to this is she's the king. She's the queen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's redefining what... If you ask America, define traditional marriage... What percentage, you don't know this, but what percentage would venture to say polygamy?
Yeah, it would have to be less than 1%.
Yeah, you would think this would be an extremely low number. And yet she says, well, this y'all are out there wrong, the majority's wrong. I know this is supposed to be a democracy or some kind of representative republicancy, but no, I'm going to decide.
Yeah, it would be like three people in a neighborhood in a homeowners meeting making a decision that you're not allowed to park your rusted car in the front yard, and then one guy just decides that hey, he's gonna do what he wants. It doesn't matter what these people decide. Or a guy walks in the boardroom. The board has voted to make this decision for the business, for the company, and then all of a sudden someone just decides we're gonna do this. We're going to do it my way anyways, even though you've decided this. No one would stand for that.
Right.
You know, if you made a decision or a group of people in our place, and we made a decision in staff meeting, in our weekly staff meeting, and then one person went out and did their own thing and rewrote the decision for how they felt it should be, it wouldn't be a pretty after meeting.
Well, especially when we consider the fact, and I think this is a result of the ignorance of America, that the judicial branch was never seen as an entity that made decisions.
They were to uphold the law. The Congress made the laws, and the president was to
execute
the laws, and the judges were to uphold the law.
Yeah, to analyze what the decisions were to be made in light of the Constitution, and to determine that it was not unconstitutional. But her decision, the rendering here, at least what we get from this news article, has nothing to do with the Constitution of the United States. It has to do with the fact that she is now reinterpreting history in light of a perception that polygamy has been the traditional marriage.
Yeah. And it's really, when we say traditional marriage, we're saying we believe, we're talking about what Scripture endorses. We're not necessarily concerned about what all the cultures over all the time have said, even though I think she would be wrong in saying that most cultures have embraced this.
Yeah, we would want to see some substantial data in these 88 pages mm-hmm. that show us historically she's correct.
Yeah.
We would need to see Europe. We would need to see multiple locations. We would need to see the Oriental culture embracing polygamy and over and over again. And really, the question becomes, where is that culture today?
Yeah, if that's true, why doesn't it still exist? Mm-hmm. And again, it may in some African tribes, it may exist still in some remote parts of the world. But in most places, I would say that this is not carried over. Other than a few extreme Mormonist groups out west, that there aren't polygamy.
This is not normative.
No, it's not normative.
No. Well, once again, we have a judge taking into, in this case, her own hands, the complete disregard of the will of the people. And I guess, Joey, it's really only a matter of time until the Supreme Court just utterly strikes it down.
Yeah, it's coming, 2015. And I think we're even seeing almost defeat among Republican governors. You know what? Forget it. We're not going to waste money trying this. You know, we can try it and we can fight it, but we're going to lose anyways. So it's almost like...
almost like a stewardship issue.
Yeah, we don't want to waste
what resources?
Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars to try something that we're gonna lose.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I think right now, if we want to focus on an issue, we ought to focus on abortion. We can hold the standard morally and not give in on our side. But right now, I think the thing we've seen the most headway has been abortion in the last 2 years. And so I guess maybe it seems wise maybe not to try all these cases and try to win. But it's unfortunate when 37 out of the 50 states have passed a ban on gay marriage.
But again, that ban is almost meaningless.
Yeah.
Because it just takes one judge to say no.
Yeah.
And then at that point, the state has to decide whether they want to hire a team of lawyers and appeal it up to an entity that will ultimately... probably rule against
them. Yeah, probably strike it down. Right now, the Supreme Court, it might go in favor because there's still some conservative judges. But even now, from Justice Roberts, we know that we don't know what to expect from those guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
So
the way the wind blows is mm-hmm. is really a surprise what could come out of there.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening. Check it out, the article on Huffington Post, if you want, and post a comment. Have a great day.